Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, welcome back to the Sports Ethos Brooklyn Nets podcast, hosted today by Anthony, and I'm joined by Joe Farrow on Twitter. That is at the real Joe Farrow.
The Joe Farrow. I'm not the real one.
The real Joe Farrow. But yeah, no Cody today. He's slacking off. He has a job, like the nerve of him. But we're going to talk about the Portland Trailblazers game. The Nets had a four-game Western Coast road trip. And Joe, before the road trip, would you have taken 2-2 looking at the games on the schedule?
I would have, especially with the way that the team looked leading up to it, just because the style of basketball that we were playing and were winning with was not sustainable, and Ben Simmons was not looking great / was injured. But that all seemed to turn around.
Yeah, so all things considered, a lot of hot teams they were playing going into this road trip, minus the Lakers. Well, I wouldn't say the Clippers are hot, but we knew they had PG. They're a good team. The Kings and Blazers, they've been playing great basketball. Nets lost the game you thought they'd win, and they went 2-2 in the road trip. All things considered, we'll take it. Would have liked the 3-1. Would have liked not giving up 103 points to the Sacramento Kings.
Brutal.
But, you know, we'll take what we can get.
So what were your thoughts on that Kings game? Because you weren't with us to recap that one.
So I had a long week at work, and I was so tired. I stayed at work late, and I was like, hey, I'm watching Nets game. They don't play on the West Coast that often. It's whatever. Like, I'll stick it. I'll power through it. At halftime, I slammed the laptop shut. I was like, I'm going to bed.
I don't blame you. Done that.
I was like, not worth me staying up to like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning to see the Nets get up 150. You know.
Yeah, I completely agree. The only reason I watched that full game was because I was pulling out for Kevin Durant to hit 1-3 for me to make $900 that night, and it did not happen. And I had to sit there and be miserable and watch the Nets give up 153 points while Kevin Durant did not hit 1-3.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal. I'd be double mad if I was you. So I guess mine was a little better than that.
It was a miserable night.
Yeah. So, yeah, did you watch the Blazers game last night?
I did. It was a really fun game. I mean, I tuned in after halftime because I was watching the end of the Packers-Titans game. But the second half, man, the Nets turned it up. They were down at half. It was very close, contested game all the way through. Nets were down by like 10 at one point. Came all the way back. Ben Simmons looked absolutely incredible coming off of a very good game in Sacramento where he was the lone highlight. Only good takeaway from that game is that he got in double figures for the first time all season. He started to slowly look more aggressive, and then he used that game, went into Portland, and just dominated in all facets of the game. It was awesome to see. Really good game. Royce O'Neal, obviously, securing the tip-in off the KD miss for the win. And securing a triple-double for him, along with Yuta Watanabe having 20 points, and now after that showing he's leading the NBA in three-point percentage. Just awesome showing all around for an obviously understaffed and slowly improving Nets team.
Yes, I think for the whole roster as a whole, a lot of the guys who work in progress, between Joe, between Seth, between Yuta, like we didn't know what we were going to get from him. Between like everyone outside of KD, really, like Ben Simmons, like we really didn't know. And the stuff with Ben Simmons has been getting pretty bad considering he's like almost barely a role player before some of these last few games. And mm-hmm. finally got his like legs under him. I feel like that's he looked the most engaged yesterday. Like obviously the 15 points, 6 for 6 in the field, like you said, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. Like in the most important part, he looked engaged. I think that's like aside from all the stats, like yeah, they're great. He looked like he was involved in the game. Like yeah, this like I know it's not a big deal, but at the end of the game when the Nets were like kind of like the game was in jeopardy, he like had he almost got like the ball stolen from him in the backcourt. He kind of made a nice like little behind the back, like between his legs, step and move to keep the possession alive because a lot of people might have turned that ball over and he kept the possession alive. It looked engaged and it was really good for the Nets. And obviously, you can't really play him and Claxton together. I think that problem gets solved if the Nets get a stretch five and just move Claxton to the bench because I think ideally you start Ben Simmons because he's the guy you're paying all that money to and he has the higher ceiling. But all things considered, they really are getting some good lineups. I think Jock Vaughn cutting the rotation a little bit has helped out tremendously. I think some of the guys that KD somewhat quote unquote called out played really well yesterday besides Edmund Sumner, but the rest of the guys played really well, like Kurt, I know, like Joe, like Ben, Yuta, even though he didn't mention Yuta played really well, like he said, 20 points. I think the Nets like are starting to carve out a rotation. I don't know if that's my biggest takeaway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, a couple things to take away from that. You weren't with us for the last episode, obviously, so we went into like how the Nets are utilizing Ben Simmons. And in the last couple of games, he had like in the previous games before Sacramento and before Portland, Ben was being used in more of like a role, more as like a four, not as a like primary ball handler. And he was finding some success. But now the last two games, he was used in more of a hybrid role. Like he was doing his usual point guard duties, but then once he would make that initial pass, he would go into that dunker spot role. And he's looked very good and very effective switching it up. And the big thing for Ben, I think first team to try it, the Portland Trailblazers, they tried a hack a Ben scenario. And they started that with 4 minutes left in the game. And Ben, he got to the line twice. He knocked down 3 of 4. That is huge if he can do that. On top of that, the Nets in that game against Portland, they had like zero small guard play. Like nobody that's like a smaller guard on our team showed up. Cam, he played like 4 minutes early on and he looked god awful. So Jock Vaughn yanked him for the rest of the game. Seth Curry didn't have that great of a game. Edmund Sumner obviously was putrid, but Joe Harris stepped up after having a really, really bad showing in Sacramento, which it was easily his worst game of the year, and that's saying something. He went 4 of 4 from deep, and he was like early on, he was looking for any reason to let it fly. He was on fire to start off. Royce O'Neal, obviously, triple double, big game. Yuta really stepped up. Kevin Durant, he had a really boneheaded play at the end of the game where he fouled Yusuf Nurkic to allow them to tie it with like 7 seconds left. But it was a really, really solid showing. And I said this on the last episode, and I said the Nets are going to go as Ben Simmons goes. And we don't know if that's a good or a bad thing yet. So what are your thoughts on like kind of that scenario where like, because as we were talking about what role Ben Simmons is being used in and how effective he's going to be, I said the Nets are really going to go as Ben Simmons goes because you need him to be that third star. That's why he's here. He's making all that money for a reason. What do you think about that?
I think so too. I think like when you first constructed this roster, like when you traded for James Harden, I think the mindset of the team's roster construction was we're going to go all in on these three stars and it's going to be all vet minimum guys for the most part, maybe besides Joe. And we're just going to have to fill in the roster with like whatever. And I think like, obviously we traded James and we got Simmons here. It's still kind of like a similar roster construction. Like, yeah, we did take back Curry and Drummond in that deal. So we did get a 3-for-1, but Drummond's obviously not here anymore. So largely enough, this roster is made up of like we go as far as the three stars go. And I think the other big three was like largely just, we're going to out-talent you, where this big three on paper is a better fit. Like we know KD and Kyrie are the scorers. Ben's the guy to facilitate. In a perfect world, that's what you do. That wasn't happening at the beginning of the year when Kyrie wasn't playing, because Ben wasn't up to speed. Like, he had been out of basketball for a year. It just wasn't happening. And if he can get his legs under him and be of the Ben Simmons of old, because you look up some 76ers highlights, he was a good player. He wasn't always this guy. You don't get $35 million in the NBA for being what he was doing. I think he has the capability. It's a confidence thing. It's a getting your legs on your feet thing. If he can get going And it's going to be crucial that he does in the next few weeks, because I think the Nets really do have a timeline of like the trade deadline to decide if they're going to go all in or all out. Because I think they do kind of have to go in all or out one way or another. I think he is the X factor that we've been talking about. Yeah, Kyrie back in the court. We know what Kyrie is. We know what Kyrie can do. It's going to be Ben. He's the guy that can elevate everyone else, facilitate, take the pressure off the other two guys. Like, he's the one that can get those guys open looks. If he's driving and then kicking out just three-point shooters or, like, two of the best isolation scores we have in this league, that's the Nets' offense, bread and butter. And they can actually run set plays now that they have, like, somewhat of a formidable coach, better than Steve Nash, who was just KD, Kyrie isolation. Like, this is, like, the perfect scenario. We get TJ Warren back in, like, a week or two. The roster's going to be filled out. There's going to be depth on the roster. You can go like 10 guys deep if you really want to. And if someone doesn't have it, you cut their minutes that night and just swap it all out. Like, that's what they can do. They have like, there's a lot of guys, like almost every guy on this roster right now, aside from a few, can legit play minutes. Like, if you just look at the starting lineup, you have KD, Kyrie, Ben, Claxton, you have Joe Harris, you have Yuta Watanabe, you have Seth Curry, you have Cam Thomas, you have Reggie TJ Warren, you have Edmund Sumner. You have a lot of guys that can play. Even Kessler Edwards and David Duke have shown you what they can do. Not the biggest De'Aaron Sharp guy, no disrespect to the guy, but probably outside of him, everybody on this roster can kind of ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Can really make a run at this, and then maybe if like they go all in, get a stretch five, and this roster can compete with the Celtics and the Bucks and the Sixers. I don't know if they're better than them, but I like their chances. Like, I'm not saying like they'll win, but they can at least. I think the goal is to get into that like upper tier, get a top four seed. I think that the 1 and 2 seed is a little unrealistic at this point. They could slide into 3 or 4 if they really start like getting their shit together.
Yeah, and I mean, you're sitting right now at 7-9 after going 2-2 on the road trip, and Ben Simmons is finally getting his legs under him. At least it seems like that. Hopefully, he can continue to build off that. You're having guys like Yuta Watanabe step up. Royce O'Neal has been up and down this year, but he also seems to be finding his footing. Joe Harris keeps working in. TJ Warren is on the way back, and not to mention we get Kyrie Irving back on Sunday. The reports are he's gone above and beyond to satisfy the organization's needs and also to better himself. Let's hope that all of the drama surrounding Kyrie Irving is behind him. Ben Simmons starts to look like his old self, back like 2019 All-NBA third team, all top three DPOY guy. Like, and we're not even expecting that. We're expecting like 80-85% of that. And even if he can get to that, this team is going to be good, man. Like, they're going to be really good. And like, we went into it in terms of like the stretch five aspect last episode. There was a report that came out about how like the Clippers had interest in a guy like Miles Turner, right? And obviously he's been linked to Nets and Nets fans forever. But apparently the asking price on him, it was literally only like Terrence Mann and Nick Batum. But like, if you just in theory, you throw Joe Harris, De'Aaron Sharp, and a first-round pick to the Pacers. I feel like that's a better offer than Terrence Mann and Nick Batum. No, like
I would agree.
And that would basically solidify all the Nets needs. If you have a healthy TJ Warren to come back and replace Joe's minutes, because like he's necessary to match the salary there, it would make perfect sense, I think, and it would solve the majority of the Nets' issues. Or even if it's not Miles Turner in particular, a guy of that caliber playing alongside
PJ Washington personally, but
PJ Washington would also be great. But I'm just saying, a guy like that, like, and if that's the asking price on a guy of the caliber of Miles Turner, you go out and you make that move.
Would you be interested in, let's say, like, obviously the sacrifice Joe Harris in the situation? It's rumored that the Hawks are looking to move John Collins. Would that be interesting in?
We were linked to him at one point in the offseason. Remember that? Like, that was like, it was like right as the offseason was about to start up. And it's like, okay, the Nets are linked to John Collins. And then the next day, Kevin Durant recalled.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
That's a trade. Like, it was...
I wonder what happens if, like, there was no trade request. I feel like a lot of the Nets' offseason plans were, like, obviously taking a hit after that trade request.
Yeah, big time.
I don't know. I feel like things could have went a different way. There could have been more guys here. I think the Nets would definitely at least had a stretch five of some caliber. I guess the Nets are waiting for that December 15th date at the minimum to try to get someone in here. So at least another month. I don't know.
Probably.
If really can afford to go that long. It's really like, it's clear Ben and Claxton cannot show the court together. It's almost like.
And they played together in some stretches last night. And, like, they didn't
look
that.
It's just not ideal, though.
It's not. It's definitely not ideal. They can, at points, if you need to match for size and you need some more shot, like, ball handling on the floor, this, that, and the other. But, like, you don't want to be playing them on the court together for 30 minutes a night. You can't. It's just not.
I just don't even think Clax. I think, like you said, like, if you get a stretch five here, I think Claxton's line to the bench makes more sense. He's not really a guy that guards bigs like that anyway. So I don't think like you're really forfeiting a lot there. I think a stretch five, like we said, like that can guard a little bit, is just what the Nets need.
Yeah, I could not agree more. It's very much up in the air still with the Nets, but after the last game and the news about Kyrie coming back and the last two games watching how Ben has performed, KD obviously is going to be KD, and you look at the other guys who are finding their footing with, and also with TJ Warren on the way back. This team could be turning a real corner real soon. They're two games under 500. We've seen teams start out worse and go on runs. I mean, the Celtics were what? They were like 22, and they were like – they had a bad record halfway through the year last year.
No,
and they turned it up. They turned it up, and they went on a finals run. So,
yeah. So, like,
we've seen crazier things happen.
I want the Nets to, at this point, my small-term goal is get – out of the play-in and get into like that, like 1-6 range, ideally top 4 seed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. That's always the goal, to secure home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. No doubt. You don't want home court advantage in a play-in game again. Like, that's not at all what you
want. That was a little gross, not gonna lie. But yeah. Overall, I think like we'll transition this. I think that it was a great game. But we didn't even mention Royce O'Neal, actually. Royce O'Neal with the tip-in to win it, like we said. Shout out to him. His first career triple-double, 11-11-11, I think.
Yep, 11-11-11, with shout 11 coming Royce. Back next game.
Royce took a lot of flack for us trading the first-round pick, considering the timing of it. It was like almost simultaneously from the KD trade request. Not fair to him, obviously, in a win-now mode. Some people still think it's a lot. Not as bad, considering like you're a contender on paper. But shout out Royce. He's been doing a lot of little things. His three-point shot's a little better than I expected. Sometimes he's had some questionable shot selection. I'm glad he went for the tip-in this time instead of, unlike last time when KD missed that free throw, he actually put the ball up. So shout out Royce for that. But yeah, overall, any other takes you have from yesterday's game before we look at the outlook of like the next few games?
No, I think I'm good, man. I'm just very excited after that Blazers game. The team fought hard, man. And it seems like a lot of the pieces might be starting to fall into place for us after it looked very bleak.
Yeah, it was looking really bad post-Sacramento. It's just be picked up by that last game, leave the road trip, six-hour flight home. It goes a long way for this team. They definitely needed that. They're getting Kyrie back Sunday against a really good Memphis team. They have a tough stretch coming up.
Memphis without Desmond Bane, by the way.
But with Jaren Jackson, so.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. They have a tough week coming up. They have the Grizzlies Sunday. Big, big game Tuesday at Philadelphia with Ben Simmons.
Oh, yeah.
I hope he plays, man. He should play. Like
he's going to play. Yeah, he's going to play.
Yeah, he better.
There's no reason for him not to. He's going to have Kyrie back. He'll have the right supporting cast around him. There's a day. He has a day off in between games. He should play.
He should play, yeah. Then they got the Raptors on a back-to-back. So I don't know. They better not front-load that back-to-back. I'd be really mad if they did that, honestly. But
I hope they front load the back to back. I need Ben Simmons.
I want to play in the back to back. I'm saying, like, I want him to play the first game, not the second game.
Yeah,
imagine Ben just drills a three to start the game.
That would be amazing, and that's probably like plus 49,000.
It would get pissed.
Ben Simmons' three first basket must be like plus 80,000.
Can you? Oh my god, that'd be amazing. But let's get back to reality. Nets got Memphis Sunday. They got the Sixers Tuesday, and then they wrap up the week at the Raptors Wednesday. And they get the Pacers. They got then a 3-game stretch of the Pacers. They get the Blazers again, who are good, and the Magic. So they got a, I think in this,
they got a lot of young, besides like Philly, they got a lot of young, gritty teams.
They got to go two and one the next three, ideally. Yep. They can't just keep forfeiting games saying, oh, they should just win one of these. Like, they got to start beating, they're a good team. If they're going to be a good team, they need to beat good teams. I'm not saying to sweep everyone and go through like a 10 game winning streak. It'd be nice, but
yeah, like in these stretches, you got to go above 500 for the week, especially where we are right now.
Exactly. Memphis, a big one. MVP Memphis, since I think Cody, like we were talking about last time, I think Cody tweeted, Marcus Gasol was still in the Grizzlies. Marcus Gasol's currently not in the NBA. And he's been on the Lakers since then. I think that's the only team he's been on since then. But yeah, that's pretty bad. I think all things considered, the Nets are due for a win against Memphis. I think they lost 7 or 8 in a row. I think it's definitely their longest active losing streak. So yes, we'll see if the Nets can actually come out with some energy. It's Kyrie's first game back after missing the last 7. The Grizzlies are playing today against OKC. They don't have a back-to-back. So they'll be probably fully staffed minus Desmond Bane. They got Jaren Jackson back. They're a good young team. Should be interesting, you know.
And Bane is for sure a Nets killer, so that's definitely going to help not having him. Yeah. I do like – I think the atmosphere in Barclays is going to be a fun one on Sunday for sure, with Ben's progression over the last 2 and Kyrie coming back. So – and it'll be interesting to see what Jock Vaughn decides to do with Kyrie coming back with in terms of the starting lineup. Like, do you want to keep Ben coming off the bench or do you want to bench Clax and put Yuta in that lineup? Like,
I think I'll probably put Simmons in the bench against Memphis just because of Steven Adams. I don't think it's a really good matchup for Ben.
Probably.
Yeah, then I'll bring Ben in once Adams hits the bench to go against the second unit.
Does he come off the bench in Philly, though?
That's probably another matchup where he might come off the bench just because Embiid. Like, I think the big center matchup is where, for now, just based on roster construction now, is when you do that.
Yeah, I mean, he held his own against Nurkic.
I mean, you're not putting Simmons on Embiid, though.
Yeah, no doubt.
Although, it'll be a fun storyline. I think Simmons will get killed in that matchup. So, I don't think that would end too well.
The dream is that Ben Simmons ends up dunking on Embiid in that game.
Oh, that'd be funny as hell. No, the two teams you're playing without their star players, I say loosely for this Harden.
But, yeah,
many would argue Harden's the third best player in that team. Maxie,
many would at this point. Maxie's been incredible. He's awesome.
Maxie, the 2, probably Harris the 4.
Harris is in trade talks right now.
Yeah, I see Aiden's name being thrown around. Jake Crowder. I'm seeing.
Isn't Aiden not allowed to be traded this year though?
What?
Aiden's not allowed to be traded this year though, right?
He could be. He could be.
What, after that December 15th thing?
Yeah. They're saying, someone said what so I thought I saw one trade. It was John Collins and Clint Capella for Aiden and Crowder, like trading people's problems. The only problem is that Capella's an expiring, so I don't know if the Suns would go for that.
I mean, the Suns would be winning in a landslide, but
but the only thing is Capella's is on the expiring. I guess you try to re-sign him, but then you have Collins locked up because he just signed an extension. That deal can happen anyway because, like you said, Aiden the 15th and Collins also signed this year, so he'd be the 15th as well.
Trade's going through on December 16th. Got it.
I know. It's not one of those things where it's like everyone's going to just start on the 15th, but like,
Start looking at more possibilities on the 15th for sure.
I'd be shocked if we saw anything before then. That's usually how it goes. I would say closer to like the count, the New Year's, where we'll probably really see a big flurry. And then obviously the trade deadline's when it really picks up.
But yeah, even like when Harden wanted out before the season even started. Yeah, like that trade didn't happen until what was it? It was like January 13th or something like that.
Yeah, I think that would be. I mean, it went down to the trade deadline.
February. It was February. Yeah.
Yeah, Harden was traded on the deadline. Yeah. He started the bullshit around January.
Well, no, I was saying out of Houston.
Oh, yeah, Houston. Yes.
Because he wanted out like before the season even started and he still didn't get traded until like January.
Yeah.
I think that was a January trade.
Yeah, that was.
But the deadline was for us.
That was a weird year, though, because the season didn't start to the beginning of December because of the COVID. It was right after the bubble.
Oh, that's right.
Because the bubble ended late October and the season started early December.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you are correct there.
Yeah, that was a weird turnaround. But, yeah, the Nets, they'll probably be active at the deadline. We said the stretch 5. I think one way or another, I think the Nets from now until the deadline, or maybe like a little before that, I think they really need to see what they have. And if they either believe in this thing moving forward and add pieces to it, like a stretch five, maybe move Patty or something, like try to get like another, like make better roster construction. But all things considered, they have to make a decision, because if they're not going to think they're going to win, if they're like five games under 500, it's clear it's not going to work. I think you trade KD. That's the sad reality, but I think you try to recoup any value you can.
Yeah, no doubt.
And that's how I see it. And I honestly don't think at this point we get young players. I say we just go the boatload of picks route. And like, first team I'm calling is New Orleans. They got the Lakers picks. Those are a lot. And New Orleans has a surplus of picks. They have their own picks. They have Milwaukee's picks from Jrue Holiday. They get like seven. I think the Lakers gave up like, they probably sold like five. I think they probably like including swaps of both of these. It was like six with the like left of the Lakers, because the 80 trade was like 2 years ago. I'm pretty sure it was eight. And the New Orleans one was like with Milwaukee was probably like five or six for Jrue left. So that's a lot.
Yeah, they got five picks for Jrue. It was three unprotected, two swaps, I believe.
They have a lot of picks between the Bucks, their own, and the Lakers. And the most obviously the nicest ones are the Laker ones, is looking like.
That's why a lot of people were looking at the Pelicans for KD possibility.
Yeah, but at that point we were like, we want Ingram or Zion. And yeah, then maybe a pick or two. But now it's like, give us all the picks. And now you have KD, Zion, McCollum, and Ingram. You probably have to end up forfeiting Valanciunas' salary, and probably like a lot of the guys in the medium salary range. You probably get back a Herb Jones too. Nice little building piece.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's not talk about that, though.
Let's stay positive, because right now
that's just one. So let's.
That's more. That was more of a conversation for the Sacramento pod.
Maybe they'll finally break the playoff streak, but we'll see. We'll see.
I think they look good. They really do. They got a lot of nice complimentary pieces around Fox.
It's all Sacramento, so I won't believe it till I see it.
Yeah.
But that's all I really have. I think the Nets have their work cut out for them the next week, but it's going in the right direction. Kyrie's back. Let's see where it goes from there, I think.
I completely agree.
Anything else you want to add, Joe, before we wrap it up?
I think we're all good.
All right, thank you guys for tuning into the Sports Ethos Brooklyn Nets podcast. We'll probably be back with you early next week after the Nets play their game against Memphis, probably a little before that Philly game, preview the Ben Simmons stuff. But thank you guys for listening. And once again, I'm Anthony and Joe. Probably cool with you this next time. Thank you guys for listening again. And let's go Nets.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.